Parshas Vayishlach. The Ramban, in the beginning of this week's parasha, says in his introduction, the Ramban doesn't normally make an introduction to the parashas, but in this week's Seder he does, and he says, as his hakdama, that we learn from our parasha, when one encounters a goy or an enemy, what is the correct approach? What is the hishtadlus horu'uya? And he says, you see from Yaakov Avinu that it has to be threefold. Number one, it has to be a tefillah. Yaakov davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, there has to be a battle plan, a strategy. Yaakov split the family into two. And thirdly, there has to be pius, shoychad. That's why he sent all the gifts to Esav, all the animals, in order to appease him. So it's really a three-point plan. And the Ramban in Zakdoma tells us that this is a lesson forevermore. When one encounters the enemy, this is the way that one is supposed to act. I once heard that Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on occasions that he had to meet politicians, anti-religious politicians, secular politicians, he had to meet them in order to argue and wage war, as it were, on behalf of Moistas HaTorah. In preparation for meeting these politicians, he used to learn Parshas Vayishlach. He used to do Chazorah of Parshas Vayishlach, and this is in light of the Ramban's Hakdoma, because the Ramban teaches us the Maisa of a similar bonim, that the purpose, the tachlis, the limud of this week's parasha is to learn how to deal with the enemy. And it has to be threefold. A strategy, tefillah, and pius. We will, Be'ezus Hashem, this evening spend a moment or two looking at what would seem to be one of those 3 points. And that is the divrei pius. When Yaakov sends the malochim, the yishlach malochim, as Rashi tells us, they were not merely messengers. They were actually really malochim. And he sends them to Esav with a whole message, and then he sends the gift. So we're going to be looking at that for a minute or two, and we'll see, Be'ezus Hashem, that actually this three-point plan really is a united plan. And we'll try and explain Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. The Torah writes in Perek Laman Beis, Alot Posuk Hei, Vayetzav Oysom Leimor Koi Soimrum La'adoini La'esav. He instructs the Malochim, this is what you should say, La'adoini La'esav. So firstly, we must immediately ask the question that it's strange that he addresses Esav as Adoini, my master. Surely Esav was not his master. And secondly, the Loshon, La Adoini, La Esav, surely is a little bit strange. It should have said, La Adoini Esav, to Esav, my master. If you say, La Adoini, La Esav, to my master, to Esav, as if to say that's two different people. If he was referring to Esav, as he clearly is, then he should have said, La Adoini Esav. So this whole Loshon needs explanation. What's the message? Koi Omar Avdecho Yaakov, this is what your servant Yaakov says. Im Lovon Garti, I have sojourned with Lovon Vo'echar Ad Oto, and I have delayed till now. Vayehili Shoyer V'chamor, Soin V'eved V'shifchon, in the interim I have gained for myself an ox, a donkey, sheep, slaves, maidservants, etc., etc. So I think we all know that there are two remozim, two hints that Yaakov is very delicately dropping over here, and Rashi points them out. Im lovon garati, what does Rashi say? Garati begematria tariag. Kloima. What he means to say is, albeit im lovon horosho garati, but tariag mitzvois shomarti. But I guarded, I safe kept all of the 613 mitzvahs all along, despite being together with Lavan Horosha. Veloi lomadati mimaisav horoim. And I did not learn from his evil ways. The question must be asked, were Rashi not to point out that Garati is the same letters as Tariag, I think it's safe to say that we would never have noticed the correlation. We certainly would not have understood the finer nuance over here, that Tariag and Garati is a whole deep-lying remez to the fact that he kept Tariag mitzvahs. And if that's the case, how on earth was Esav to understand? Was Esav automatically to be assumed as understanding that when he says Garati, really there's an underlying remez to the fact that Garati is Tariag and Tariag mitzvah shomarati? How on earth did Yaakov Avinu expect Esav to understand this remez? I don't think we would have understood it had Rashi not pointed it out. So how could Esav understand it? One question. Second question is, on that pasuk by Yehili Shoyer v'chamoyer, Now, what does it mean? I have an ox, I have a donkey. He actually had many animals. So the Medrash says that this was a specific reference to different ones of his children. Shoir is a reference to Yosef, about whom it says, B'chayr shoiroi hodor loy. When he says that I had a shoir, what he really means is, I have a Yosef. When he said I have a chamor, that's a reference, says the Medrash, to Ze Yisochar. Yisochar chamor gorem. When he says I have a tzoyim, that's a reference to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are compared to sheep. When he says I have an eved, that is a reference to David, etc., etc., etc. So all of the message that's being transmitted to Esav, it turns out, is laden with meaning, with deep meaning. And yet, once again, we must ask the question, how on earth was Esav supposed to know that? How on earth was Esav supposed to have understood that Shair v'chamoir is a reference to Yosef and Yisachar? Especially difficult, by the way, because they're only comparable to Yosef and Yisachar based on the brachos that Yaakov gave at the end of his life in Parshas Vayechi. That hasn't even happened yet. So how on earth is Esav just assumed to have understood all the various ramazim over here? So these are the questions that we're trying to tackle. Number one, the whole lashon of la'adoini and la'esav. Why was he referring to Esav as the master? If he is the master, then why is it la'adoini la'esav? It should have just said la'adoini Esav, my master Esav. Furthermore, all these various hints that garati is a reference to Taryag, and shoir v'chamoir is a reference to Yosef and Yisachar, why was Yaakov assuming, and how was he assuming, that Esav was possibly to have understood the deep meaning of this remez? It should, by the way, be pointed out, just that we should understand, why indeed was he singling out Yosef and Yisachar? I have a shoir and a chamoir, meaning I have a Yosef and I have a Yisachar. Why are those two tribes out of 12 significant? And the answer is clearly, because Yosef and Yisachar are the tribes of Torah. Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu taught all of his Torah to his son Yosef. We know that indeed Yisachar is compared to the Chamoir because the Chamoir accepts the yoke of work such that we are makabel the oil HaTorah. And therefore the message, the hint that Yaakov was relaying to Esav is, however powerful you may be physically, but I'm far more powerful than you spiritually. Koil, koil, Yaakov, Yadayim Yidei Esav. If I have the koil of Yaakov, which means the koil HaTorah on the base of Medrash is strong through the tribes that are the paradigm of Torah, i.e. Yosef and Yisachar, then you will not be able to overcome me. So that's why he was referring to these two tribes, that the question must be asked, as we've explained, why did he assume that Esav would understand these various hints? So I'd like to share with you what I initially found in a sefer called Be'er Yosef al HaTorah, Rabbi Yosef Tzitzala. He himself writes at the end that he was shown that the Noyam Elimelech says exactly the same, and I've subsequently found that the Chasam Sofer says exactly the same as well. So everybody seems to have been Misnabe B'Signoin Echod, a wonderful interpretation of what's going on in this whole parasha. We remember the story of Esther, in which at the second Mishter, Esther, Haman, and Achashverosh are there, the three of them. And finally, Achashverosh says to Esther, so tell me, what's the issue? What's the problem over here? To which Esther responds, Ish tsar v'oyev. There is a terrible, bitter enemy, Haman hara hazeh. And the Gemara tells us something very strange, that actually when she began saying the words Ish tsar v'oyev, she actually began pointing at Achashverosh himself, until a malach came and pushed away her arm in the direction of Haman. So why would she be pointing to Achashverosh? So the Vilna Goyen explains in the following way, a very, very yesodistic of Vilna Goyen in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Vilna Goyen says as follows. Veda, he says, you must know, Shebechol ha-tzadikim hoyodarkom. The way of tzadikim, of righteous people, is kishiyedabru dvorim lifnei ha-melech. When they are addressing the king, hoyolibom Umachshavtom dovuk laKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though physically they were addressing the king, but actually in their hearts and in their mind, they were dovuk laKadosh Baruch Hu. They were talking to the king, but they were referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Vilna Gaon brings a classic example. The classic example is from Daniel. Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. And Daniel says to him, Va'omar mori chelmo lesonoch. Mori chelmo lesonoch. Mori is my master. Lesonoch is your enemy. So the simple interpretation of the pasuk is that he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar and he's saying, my master has had a dream about your enemy. The Vilna Gaon says, do you know what he meant when he said my master? He actually meant my master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, but he's actually referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my master, and there's been a dream about your enemy. My enemy is in fact Nebuchadnezzar himself. And the Vilna Gaon brings other proofs as well from Nehemiah. Nehemiah was addressing the king, and similarly there, the Mephoroshim explained that although he was addressing the king, but his lev and his machshava was actually referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Says the Vilna Gaon, when Esther was talking and saying, Ish tsar v'oyev, who was she talking to? Yes, she was talking to Ahasuerush. She was actually addressing the Rabbeinu Shalom. And when she was addressing the Rabbeinu Shalom, she indeed felt in her heart that Ahasuerush is indeed the enemy. We sometimes feel when we read the Megillah Esther that Haman eclipses Ahasuerush as if Ahasuerush was some sort of tzaddik. He was a Rosh HaGomor. He indeed was a true enemy of Klal Yisrael. So Esther HaMalko, lo talking to Ahasuerush, but is addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why she pointed her finger at Ahasuerush, because that's what in fact she meant, heart of hearts, when addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I have an enemy, and the enemy is indeed Ahasuerush. In order that she shouldn't get in trouble with Ahasuerush, so the Malach came, and the Malach pushed away her hand and pointed it towards Haman. That's how the Vilna Gaon explained. So we learn from over here a tremendous yesod, that the derech of tzaddikim, whoever they are talking to, but their underlying undercurrent is always to HaKadosh Baruch. They are always dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means therefore that everything they say really has to be interpreted with double meaning. They may well be talking to the king, but essentially they're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we come back to our parasha. The Zohar asks a very important question. How was Yaakov allowed to bow down to Esav? Esav is a Rasha, says the Zohar, and this is in line with the Yisoid of the Vilna Gaon. He was actually bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was not bowing down at all to Esav, although on the surface that may well look like what was happening. But in actuality, his lev and his machshava, as the Vilna Gaon explained, was absolutely targeting, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was not bowing down to Esav, he was bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, says the Zohar, if you're medayek the psukim very carefully, you'll notice it doesn't actually say clearly in the posuk, Vayishtachu el Esav, and he bowed down to Esav. It doesn't say that. Do you know what it does say? Says in the posuk, Vahu oiver lifnehem, and he passed in front of them. Says the Zohar, who's the he? That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was not bowing down to Esav. It may well look like it was bowing down to Esav. Vahu oiver lifnehem. So we see therefore a theme that's running through Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, all the way back over here to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu may well be interacting and talking to Esav, but he's actually referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, then we understand so beautifully now. We ask the question, when he says, Im lovon garti, and Rashi points out that that is a reference to Tariag Mitzvah Shomarti. So we ask, how was Esav to understood that remez? I'm not sure if we would have understood the remez had Rashi not pointed it out. So why was Yaakov assuming that Esav would understand it? When he said Vayihili Shoyer v'Chamoyer, and it turns out that Shoyer means Yosef and Chamoyer means Yisachar, how was Esav to have understood that remez? Says the Be'er Yosef, Niflo b'Yosef. He wasn't talking to Esav, or at least he wasn't referring to Esav. He may well have physically been talking to Esav, but the subtle hint of Tariag Mitzvah Shamarati, the subtle hint of Shoyer ze Yosef, Chamoyer ze Yisachar, that wasn't referring to Esav. Indeed, Esav would never have understood the hint, and in fact, the hint was never meant for him in the first place. So who was it meant for? It was meant for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One moment. Who is Yaakov talking to over here? Is he talking to Esav or is he talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is both. That is the yesod of the Vilna Gaon, because that is the derech of tzaddikim. That even though they physically might be appeared to be talking to a melech, to a boss of Adam, but actually they are referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what Yaakov really meant was, through his pius to Esav, he was actually simultaneously being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the fact that Tariag Mitzvah Shomarati. Look at the fact that I've got the Koyach HaTorah, I have the Yosef, I have the Yisachar. So he was intertwining the Koyach of Tfilah together with the Pius. So as far as Esav was concerned, when he said Vayihili Shoyer V'Chamoyer, what did he mean? He meant on a very superficial level, as Rashi points out, Esav, why are you getting all upset that I took the brachas? They weren't really niskayim. All I have is a shoyer. All I have is a chamoyer. That was the superficial, exterior level of understanding. But the oimek, what he was really referring to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was being ma'oyre rachamim. And he was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I have the koyach of the Torah. I've been megadol bonim talmidei chachamim. I've been shayim tariag mitzvahs. Surely that should be a zechus that stands in good stead for me. As mentioned, the Be'er Yosef says that just as his sefer was going to print, it was pointed out to him that the yesod appears in the Noam Elimelech. So I looked in the Noam Elimelech, and indeed, the Noam Elimelech says exactly the same, and he quotes Daniel, and he quotes Nehemiah, and he also says, just like the Vilna Gaon, that the derech of tzaddik, he says, is bedibroi im anoshim, even when they're talking to human beings, but the ikar toichein dover, but the main substance of what they're saying is tefillah v'tachanunim lifnei hamokim baruch hu. There's a simultaneous conversation going on. On an exterior level, they're talking to a human being. However, on a deeper level, it's a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, says the Noam Elimelech, Niflo B'Yosef. We ask the question, why did he indeed send Malochim Mamish? Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim. And Rashi says, Malochim is not to be translated merely as messengers, but actually they were Malochim Mamish, real angels. Why so? Says the Noam Elimelech, because there's a tefillah going on over here. Were he just to be sending a message to Esav, and obviously, regular messengers would have sufficed. But at the same time, the ikar toichen adova was a tefillah. And if it was a tefillah, then he sent malochim to be the emtsoi of that tefillah. And that answers our other questions as well. The loshon of Yaakov Avinu is very strange. La adoini le'esav. We ask, firstly, how could he call Esav my master? And secondly, if he is my master, why are you saying la adoini? La Esav, you should have just said La Adoini Esav. Says in the Moel Melech, wonderful. La Adoini is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Indeed, it's not Esav. Afterward, it says La Esav. That's why there are two lamas. La Adoini, La Esav. I'm referring to two different points over here. I'm referring to La Adoini, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my master. And at the same time, also La Esav. And as mentioned before, I found also that the Chasam Sofer says exactly the same. Oison hadvarim shedibeir im hamelech, referring to Daniel. Those very words that he was talking to the king, who ba'atzmoi hoyot tfilo el Hashem. was actually a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hamelech choshav. The king thought shadvarim musavim olav. He thought everything was being referred to him, but he was very much mistaken. The underlying meaning and toichen was really a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he says, therefore, when Yaakov says, Koi seimrun la'adoini, hainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he really means is, my master HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a yesoi that runs through many, many of the Mefarshei HaTorah, the Noam Elimelech, the Chasam Sofer, and then most recently the Be'er Yosef al HaTorah. But it's a wonderful new understanding in the whole parasha. And this answers all of our questions. Im lovon garati v'tariag mitzvah shomarati, how was Esav to have understood the Remez? The Remez was never aimed at Esav. Vayihili shor v'chamor Yosef and Yisocha, that too was never aimed at Esav. It was aimed at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could he call Esav la'adoni? He wasn't referring to Esav. Adoni is my master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does it say la'adoni la'esav? Because there's two separate contacts over here. La'adoni is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then la'esav. And why indeed did he send Malochim Mamesh? Because these were not just messengers to pass on a message. They were rather the emtsoi to bring the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dvorim nifloim be'yosef. Which means, therefore, we come back to where we started. The Ramban says that there's a three-point plan over here. There's a battle strategy. There's tefillah, and then there's pius. But we see from these gedolei achrenim that those battle plans, the pius and the tefillah, are really one. Because the pius itself is intertwined with tefillah. And the ikar toichen of the pius was really the tefillah simultaneously. So it's not two separate battle strategies. On the one hand, tefillah, and also, in addition, pius. No, the pius is itself intertwined with tefillah. Let's just finish off with one line in the Chovos HaLevavos in Shar HaBitochin. When the Chovos HaLevavos is talking about bitochin, and he says, on occasion, you will try to enlist help from somebody, and the help is not forthcoming. So he says, V'im lo yishalim lo yal yidehem. If that particular person that you were hoping would help you out did not help you out, al yashimim, do not consider him guilty. V'al yitle bohem kitzur, do not blame your shortfalling on him. What does he mean? I asked somebody for help, and he didn't help me. L'oir divrei havil nagoyim, and the Noam Elimelech, and the Chasam Sofer, and the Be'er Yosef, we understand there's a big oimek to the Chovos HaLevavos. Because when I enlist the help of somebody else, that has to go together with, that has to come together with an understanding that even though I'm asking Ploini for help, Ploini is not really the source of the help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of it. And if the help therefore is not forthcoming, then there's no point blaming the person you are asking, because the real makor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this help you were trying to accrue was not eventually forthcoming. So this is a tremendous yesod. The Ramban tells us, on the one hand, as we explained, that this parasha is to teach us how to deal with the enemy. But we learn a tremendous lesson from over here. Not only must there be a three-point plan, a battle strategy, a tefillah, and divrei pius, but the divrei pius themselves are intertwined with tefillah, such that you could easily miss the entire point. We could learn the parasha as if there is an interaction between Yaakov and Esav. And we're learning over here that that was just on a very superficial level. But the real interaction is between Yaakov and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he sent these Malachim Mamish. It was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was referring to when he said La'adoyli. It was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was saying Tariag Mitzvah Shomarti, and Shoy V'chamoyr is Yosef and Yisachar. And of course, this is indeed a great limud for us. On occasion, we also have to make Hishtadlus Gashmi, whether we need to enlist the help, financial help, or medical help, or whatever type of help it may be. We must never forget, however, to act like Yaakov Avinu. There always has to be an undercurrent of tefillah. I may be talking to my lawyer, to my doctor, to the wealthy individual, whoever it is. That's who I'm talking to. But ultimately, I'm referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. That's the limud from this week's parasha. I wish everybody A very good Shabbos.
Shabbos.